As we worship the Lord this afternoon, I invite you to turn in God's Word to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And we read this afternoon from Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 4, with our text coming from Proverbs chapter 10. What you have in the book of Proverbs is the first 9 chapters are an extended introduction. And then with chapters 10 and following, you have many times one verse Proverbs. And so in the introduction, Solomon is appealing to his children to embrace wisdom. And many of these chapters are examples of that. And chapter 4 is one such example. So let's read that chapter together. Proverbs chapter 4, the Word of God. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. So far, chapter 4, and then chapter 10, verse 1 for our text. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, where we have these words, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. So far, the reading of the Word of God. Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Amen. At this point in the service, we want to move to the baptism of 2 infant children of the congregation, and we will read the form for baptism as you find it in these little booklets in your pews. And we read from page 1 in these forms. So we have here biblical teaching regarding baptism summarized for us. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of holy baptism is summarized as follows. First, we and our children are conceived and born in sin. This means that we are by nature children of wrath and therefore cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we are born again. Baptism, by immersion or sprinkling, teaches us that sin has made us so impure that we must undergo a cleansing which only God can accomplish. By this we are admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and to turn to God for our cleansing and salvation. Second, baptism signifies and seals to us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. For this reason we are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized into the name of the Father, God the Father testifies and seals to us that he makes an eternal covenant of grace with us. He adopts us as his children and heirs, and therefore he promises to provide us with all good and protect us from all evil, or turn it to our benefit. When we are baptized into the name of the Son, God the Son seals to us that he washes us in his blood from all our sins and unites us with him in his death and resurrection. Thus we are freed from our sins and accounted righteous before God. When we are baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit assures us by this holy sacrament that he makes his home within us and will sanctify us to be members of Christ. He will impart to us what we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Third, since every covenant contains two parts, promise and obligation, we are, through baptism, called and obliged by the Lord to a new obedience. We are to cling to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to trust him and to love him with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and with all our strength. We must not love the world, but crucify our old nature and lead a holy life. If through weakness we fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and trustworthy testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. Although our young children or our children do not understand all this, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. Just as they share without their knowledge in the sin and condemnation of Adam, so are they without their knowledge received unto grace in Christ. For God speaks to Abraham, the father of all believers, and therefore to us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. The Apostle Peter also testifies to this with these words, For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Therefore God formerly commanded that infants be circumcised as a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness that comes by faith. Christ also recognized that children are members of the covenant people when he embraced them, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Since baptism has replaced circumcision, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. As these children mature, it is the duty of their parents to instruct them in these truths. In order that we may now administer this sacrament to the glory of God, for our comfort, and to the upbuilding of his church, let us call upon his Holy Name. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, long ago you severely punished an unbelieving and unrepentant world in holy judgment with the flood. But in your great mercy you saved and protected believing Noah and his family. You also drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his whole army in the Red Sea. And you brought your people Israel through the sea on dry ground. Thus you revealed the meaning of baptism and the mercies of your covenant in saving your people who of themselves deserved your condemnation. We therefore pray that in your infinite mercy you will graciously look upon these children, Brielle Heikoop and Jack Jonker, and bring them into union with your Son, Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit, so that they may be buried with Christ into death and be raised with him to walk in newness of life. We pray that they may follow Christ day by day, may joyfully bear their cross, and cling to him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love. Comfort them in your grace so that when they leave this life and its constant struggle against the power of sin, they may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ your Son. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. This time, parents, I'd ask you to rise, please. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, as you have heard, baptism is an ordinance of God to seal to us and our children his covenant. We must therefore receive the sacrament for this purpose and not out of mere custom or superstition. That it may be clear that you desire baptism as God commands, you are to answer these questions sincerely. First, do you confess that our children, though conceived and born in sin, and therefore subject to all the misery which sin brings, even the condemnation of God, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and so, as members of His church, ought to be baptized. Second, do you confess that the doctrine of the Old and New Testaments, summarized in the Apostles' Creed, and taught here in this Christian church, is the true and complete doctrine of salvation? And third, do you sincerely promise to do all you can to teach these children and to have them taught this doctrine of salvation? What is your answer, Jeff?
Yes.
Megan?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
And Alicia?
Yes.
Dear parents, it's a special day, and we've been unable to meet for a good part of the year, and so when we can meet now and also have the sacrament, that's a blessing. And it's good also to remind ourselves, all of us also as congregation, what baptism is all about. And the Bible teaches us that it is a sign and seal of God's gospel promise. And as a sign, that means it shows to us what God does as Savior. He washes us. And just as water washes our body, so the blood of Christ washes our soul. And as a seal, it confirms that God means what He says, and He means it truly, and He means it personally. For each one of us, also now each one of your children, will receive this covenant sign and seal. And this means all sorts of things. It means that, number one, God is doing something this afternoon. God is doing something, and we need to worship Him. And secondly, what a gift He is giving us in baptism as an encouragement to us and to you and to your children. And let's cherish that. And thirdly, with baptism comes a calling to seek the Lord. Let's not just have the sacrament and move on, but have the sacrament and seek the Lord and teach our children to seek Him too. May the Lord bless you as you bring your children forward this afternoon. And following the baptism, we'll sing from Psalter 425, stanza 5, and we'll sing that standing as we always do. Jehovah's truth will stand forever. His covenant bonds He will not sever. Brielle Diane Highcoop, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jack Landon Jonker, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray and give thanks to the Lord and seek for His further blessing on this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank You and praise You that You have forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Your dear Son, Jesus Christ. You received us through Your Holy Spirit as members of Your only begotten Son, and so adopted us to be Your children. You seal and confirm this to us by holy baptism. We earnestly pray through Your beloved Son that You will always govern these baptized children, Brielle and Jack, by Your Holy Spirit, so that they may be nurtured in the Christian faith and in godliness, and grow and develop in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that they may acknowledge Your fatherly goodness and mercy, which You have shown to them and to us all. May they live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and valiantly fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion. May they forever praise and magnify You, and Your Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Spirit, the one only true God. We give thanks, O Lord, that we can be here this afternoon, that we have been enabled to return to in-person worship, and that we have been enabled also now to have the Holy Sacrament. We give thanks for these two families, and for their extended families, and friends, and loved ones, and for the witness of the generations. And Lord, what we so often take for granted, we acknowledge to be a great gift from You, that the faith can be passed on from father to son, from parents to children, from grandparents to their grandchildren, and that You are pleased also and especially to work within the line of the covenant to draw a people unto Yourself. Lord, again, we have to say, who are we to be so favored among so many in this world? So many live in unbelief. So many live apart from God. So many live unmindful and even never hearing of the wonderful works of the Lord. Help us, O Lord, to be humbled, and help us also to be faithful with what we have been given, that the heritage that is so rich and is handed to us may be one that we steward with utmost care and reverence and zeal. So will You bless our children? Will You bless these children? Will You bless all the youth of the congregation? And be at work, O Lord, in them by the power of Your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for everyone that You have brought into the sanctuary this afternoon. And we thank You for this joyful occasion. We know, Lord, that while there is joy, there can also be for some sorrow. And we pray for all those in special need among us, for those who carry heavy burdens, for those who may be weighed down and bowed down in their spirit. Lord, You know our needs, and we pray that You will meet us in our needs, each one, and minister to us out of the fullness of grace that is with You at Your right hand. We pray for all the unborn children of the congregation and among us this afternoon, and for Your special care for them, each one in their need. We pray too, Lord, for all the born children and also those that are in special need among us. We continue to lift up to You Ethan as he recovers, and Isaiah as he is in particular need. And we pray that You may provide for these young boys, and that You will bless also their families, their parents, and give them strength. Help us too, Lord, that as a people we may highly value our baptism and look back often to that moment that we don't even remember, but we know happened nonetheless, that You joined our name to Your name, that You pledged Yourself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be our God through all of life, with all that we experience, and to save us from our sin, and then to bring us into eternity. Oh Lord, especially in times of temptation, or in times of trial, in times of distress, we pray that we may remember this sign and seal, and be strengthened and assured in our faith, and so wait silently for God alone. We pray, Lord, for your blessing on this whole service. Also, when your word is administered, when the sermon is preached, give help in preaching, give help in listening. May we find the word of God to be profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. May we love your law, O Lord, and may we esteem it more valuable than thousands of coins of gold and silver. So bless us richly by word and spirit. Be glorified in this afternoon. We pray too for every church throughout the world and wherever the word is opened and brought, O Lord, let it be faithfully brought and let it be divinely blessed. We pray too for Wilf Bout and his work with the migrant community. Continually strengthen him, continually equip him, and remember that community and its many needs. Continue to provide for them, also their loved ones, often far away at home, often in great need. We pray, Lord, that you will remember our land, remember our leaders, remember our time. Be merciful to us and give us grace and strength to endure, to be faithful. Help us with wisdom. Help us with courage. Help us with steadfastness. Help us, O Lord, as we make our way through life, that we may keep our eyes set on eternity, our life hidden with Christ in God, and knowing that when Christ will appear, we too will appear with him in glory, all who believe in him and follow him. O Lord, bless then this service, and blessed be your glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with your glory. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us continue to worship the Lord. We commend to you the needs of the church and the Elisha House ministry and the opportunity to serve the Lord with your gifts at other times. And at this moment, we sing then from Psalter number 322. 322 from Psalm 119. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Let's sing all four stanzas of 322.
Thank you.
So I remind you again, the text is from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure that we can all see the relevance of this text to this afternoon's service. With two sets of parents bringing their children forward to be baptized, we can't help but think about our children and what do we want for our children above all. What do we want for them? What should we want? What should we seek for them? And to that question, the Word of God speaks simply, clearly, and powerfully, doesn't it? A wise son makes a glad father. Now, just to be clear, son here means boys and girls. So all our children. And likewise, it's not only happy fathers in view here, but mothers as well. The second half of the verse talks about mothers. And so both boys and girls are in view, and both fathers and mothers. And the point is that when our children are wise, when they are wise, then we are happy. Maybe in a way that's already a challenge to us. Wise children, happy parents. How often we can think in different ways. How easy it can be to think like this. Healthy and strong children, happy parents. Smart children, happy parents. Or when children have many friends. Or when children do very well in life. When they succeed in school, in business, in family life, or when they make lots of money, or when they get recognized, or when they become famous, then we are happy. But Proverbs says no to all of that. Not that none of that matters or doesn't have its place. It does, one more than the other. But still, it is a wise son who makes a glad father. That is the perspective of the Word of God. A wise son, wise children, happy parents. The other thing, of course, is the contrast. A wise son makes a glad father. A foolish son is the grief of his mother. When do parents mourn? When are they deeply hurt, broken, sorrowing? Isn't it so often this, when they see their children live as fools, when they see their children behave foolishly? Here, let's remind ourselves very quickly of what it means to be wise and foolish. To be wise in the context of Proverbs means to live in the true fear of God. In other words, it means to respect the Lord, to reverence His name and His word. It means to hear Him and to follow Him. That's wisdom. And if we set that in context of the whole Word of God, then to be wise means most of all to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn from all our sin and to trust in Him and to seek Him as Savior and Lord, to seek Him and to serve Him. That's to be wise. That's to be truly wise. And at the same time, conversely, to be foolish means to say no to God, no to His Word, no to His Son, no to faith, no to obedience. To be foolish means to say, I will live my life my own way. I will live it for me. I will do whatever I want and when I want. Fools live in sin. Fools live meanly, rudely, selfishly, wickedly. Well, with that clear, let's listen again to our text. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. These clear words of God confront every one of us. Because we are all children. I mean, we all have parents, or we had parents. We all come from fathers and mothers. And the question we can ask is, what kind of sons are we? What kind of daughters are we? What do our parents think of us? What do they feel? Are they glad or are they sad? This text searches us all. At the same time, many of us are parents. You who have just brought your child for baptism. You are parents. What are we doing as parents? What are we after as parents? What are we all striving for as parents? Well, let's reflect on this word. In light of all of Scripture, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. So that means wise children, happy parents. Wise children, happy parents. In view of this, there is, first of all, the work we all must do. The work we all must do. And let's start with the parents. What is the work we must do as parents? What is it that God says we must do with and for our children? Well, are we not called, for instance, to train our children? Here we can think of another famous proverb, chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Training. That's our work. That's your work. You are to train your children. But what does that mean? And what does that include? Let me suggest three things very quickly. One is obviously teaching. Good training includes teaching. So that means telling our children all about the Lord and the way of the Lord and the call of the Lord. We need to explain to our children their need of a Savior. We need to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to set out to them the way of repentance and faith. And we need to say to them, listen, whatever else life is about, it must be about this. Turning from sin to God in Jesus Christ. Trusting in Jesus Christ and walking in obedience to His commandments. All of this is teaching. And to do it well, no doubt, we must read the Bible to our children and with our children. When they are young, we can make use of story Bibles. And then as they grow, we give them their own Bible and we teach them to read it and we talk together about what we find in it. In our history as Reformed people, we have the tradition and practice of reading with every meal, and that's a good tradition. And for young families already, and even young couples at the start of your lives as young married couples, before you have any children, already at the start, how important to keep up that tradition of the generations, and because it keeps the word in your life. But not just teaching, another thing is sometimes discipline is necessary, and sometimes even corporal discipline. Here we can point to other proverbs as well. Proverbs 13, verse 24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Or chapter 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. So what does this mean? Well, it means that when our children don't respond to our teaching, when they resist it, when they reject it, when they choose to go their own way, then we have to find ways and means to reinforce our words. We have to bring consequences into the lives of our children. We have to bring consequences into their lives early so that they never face the ultimate and the eternal consequence. And here we need tons of wisdom, don't we? And it's true, too, that the discipline changes as children get older. And always it needs to be done in love and with self-control, but it must be done. For it is for the good of the child and it is for the good of the community. A child who will not listen is already a challenge. A wild child, a reckless child, a mean-spirited child. What a challenge, but how much worse if they become an adult and because of lack of discipline have never learned and are living still in a wild way. So teaching, discipline, and then one more thing in terms of training. Isn't it important for parents also and especially to model? To model what it means to live as a man of God, as a woman of God. To model what it means to live as a confessing Christian, a sinner who needs a Savior and who seeks and trusts in Jesus Christ. How important it is that our children, that they see that the faith we're passing on is a living faith. That they see that it's a faith that matters, that it's a faith that is in us and is changing us. How important that our children, in all their learning wisdom, they don't only say as they grow up, well, we heard it. That's important, but and maybe we felt it, but especially we saw it. We saw that wisdom. And for that, of course, we need to live as parents close to the Lord. We need to live on our knees, as it were, for our own soul. We need to live by faith in the Son of God. We need to read His Word for ourselves. We need to seek for the Holy Spirit of God to live in us. And we need to obey the Lord in all things. We need to seek for that. Just think of the way the Lord God, or the Lord Jesus, rather, chastised the Pharisees for their hypocrisy, because they were teaching one thing and they weren't living it out. Whenever that happens, after a while people say, after a while kids say, what's the point? And so this too is a vital part of learning. We teach, we discipline, we model, or we reflect. We serve as examples, not of perfection, mind you, but of sincerity. What it means to be a sinner needing the Savior. So that's the work of parents. And it's something we need to learn, it's something we need to work at every day. But what about our children? So the parents have a work to do. What about the kids? Here too, children, let me speak very directly to you, and let me tell you, let me give you three things to do with the training of your parents training you. If parents training you means that they must teach you and discipline you and lead you by example, then you have three duties as well. And the first one is this. Listen to their teaching. How important that you learn that. That you learn to listen to your parents' teaching. God calls you to listen. God calls you. So listen as they teach you the way of life. Listen as they read to you the Word of God. Listen as they tell you about sin, as they tell you about Christ. Listen as they explain to you what it means to believe in Jesus Christ and to turn from your sin and to walk in new obedience. What is the first work of the children? Is to listen to your parents. The second one is this. Receive their discipline. Receive it. That means don't fight it. Don't reject it. If they are about to spank you, don't run away. Don't try to escape. If they ground you or take something away from you, don't yell, don't scream, don't throw a fit. No, receive the discipline. I know that's not easy. Who wants to submit to pain, to limitations, to disappointments? But God is calling you to do it. Receive their discipline. And then the third thing, in terms of your work as children, so you're to listen to their teaching, you're to receive their discipline, and then you are to follow their lead. Follow the lead of your parents. So, inasmuch as they seek to be godly parents, you also need to seek to be godly children. That means you confess that you need a Savior because of your sin. And you turn to Jesus Christ and you trust in Him and you try also to walk in His ways. Remember, that's the way of wisdom. And it's wise children who make for happy parents. And so when your parents aim to teach you wisdom and reinforce wisdom and lead you in the way of wisdom by example, take it all in, and seek to be wise. Well, that's the work. It's for parents. It's for children. But maybe you're thinking at this point, well, it sounds very nice, but Pastor, you have not been to my home. Because it doesn't work that way. We never get even close to that. Or maybe you're thinking, the pastor has been to our home, and that's why this sermon, he's seen how it goes with us. He thinks we need this. But that's not true either. This sermon is because I need it, as much as anyone else. And what I recognize, and what the Bible acknowledges, is our second point, the challenges we all meet. So wise children, happy parents, the work we must do, but now there is the reality of the challenge we all meet. And we do meet challenges. We meet challenges as parents. We meet all kinds of challenges. For example, challenges in our children. How often we can think as parents about our children, why don't they cooperate? Why don't they sit still? Why don't they listen? Why don't they get it? Why is it happening that I've said this 1,000 times and it seems like they're even nodding along, but when we turn around, there's no change? They don't obey. They don't respond positively, not to our words, our discipline, our example. Every set of parents knows about this challenge. Every single one. Why is this so? And what about if this challenge goes on, and we do our best and we try at least, and yet sometimes, despite every effort and even as the years go by, every intervention, sometimes kids can grow up and they go out into the world and they are not wise, but they are fools. Some of you live with that reality. Some of you live with that fear. What a challenge that can be for parents. And it's because of the heart of man. The heart of man, which is in them by nature, which we could understand because we have the same heart. Proud heart, wicked heart, rebellious heart. So being clear about what we have received from the Lord, a beautiful child who is also a sinner, helps us to reckon with the reality of the challenge. Of course, the other challenge is that we have the same heart. It's not just a problem in our children, it's a problem in us as parents. Sometimes it can take a while to get this. I read one father this week write about how it took him a while as a young father. It took him a while to understand, and I quote him, "Every time a parent interacts with a child, every time there are two sinners in the room, the child and the parent." He didn't get that at first. And I understand that. Maybe you do too. We can have our kids all figured out, but meanwhile we don't always know ourselves. Or we can be so bent on teaching wisdom, but we're doing it so unwisely. Sometimes that can be all too painfully on display, can't it? Maybe our spouse has to help us see it. Maybe the Word of God has to bring us down. I remember one mealtime not that long ago. I remember being quite fierce in my admonition of some unruly behavior, just ordinary family stuff. I had a fair point to make, I'm sure I did, but I was way too intense in making it. My wife was kindly warning me, but I wasn't heeding. Then I opened the Bible to the daily reading for closing of the meal, and the appointed reading was Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I thought, how can I read that now? But I had to. And it was like a sword from the Lord, piercing my own heart and revealing my own sin. And no doubt every parent understands something of this. What a challenge we find in these little bundles we receive from the Lord. But sometimes the greater challenge is what we find teeming with that within our own heart. And then we say, how in the world will these kids ever be wise? And kids too, and our children, so they don't always respond well. And maybe you children, again, let me speak very directly to your children. Deep down, you know, I think, that you don't always respond well to your parents. And deep down, you know what it's like to find a war inside of you. Because you hear your parents. And you understand what they are saying. And your conscience speaks. And yet your heart says, somewhere at some level says, no, I'm going to do it my way. And your heart says, I don't need the Lord. And this wisdom that they're talking about, it's not truly wisdom. And your heart says, let me go and explore the ways of this world. Let me go satisfy my own desires. And you know, with little children, it's little things. It's refusing to eat your supper. It's not getting dressed for bed when you're supposed to. It's stubbornly refusing to help up with clean up dishes. Whatever. It's choosing to do what your parents have said no to, but you don't care. You do it anyways. And then you get older and the opportunities increase and they change and the challenge becomes even greater because the pressure is on to play all the games the world plays and to see all the movies and to enjoy all the music and to take in all the fun the world is offering you, often wickedly. Drinking to excess, using cannabis. It's available on the street corners. Why not enjoy it? Consuming pornography, engaging casual sex. All that and more is the way of the world, the way of sinful man. Proverbs deals with all of these things. And let's be clear, the pleasures of sin, they are real, and they can look so inviting and so reasonable. And how many of them today are presented as utterly normal? Here we'll never think of Eve in the Garden of Eden with the tree and the devil whispering in her ear. And as a result, she looked at the tree and it was desirable. And that is still true. It is understandably tempting to say, forget the wisdom with which I am being trained. Forget what my parents are saying, all about seeking the Lord whom we can't see anyways, and turning from sin, which is so taking all the fun out of life and trusting in Jesus for what? And living for eternity. Why? I want to do what I want to do. And the rebellion can come boiling up. It lives in every human heart. What a challenge then for you children, not to mention all of us, but thinking of you being trained and being taught and that resistance. And what it highlights is that if there is to be any true change, really, if there is to be any wise one among us, and again, we're all children at the end of the day, if there's to be anyone wise, what's needed is a miracle. What's needed is new birth. It's a challenge, therefore, that we are not sufficient to meet in ourselves. No parents can do it, and no children can do it. And we find ourselves totally dependent on the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. And it is good when we see this. It is good when we see how great our sins and miseries are. It is good when we come to acknowledge, left to ourselves, we are hopelessly lost. But that then raises another question, because if we can't change our children, if we can't even change ourselves, whoever can be wise, are we doomed to folly? And why should we even try to train them if we can't succeed? Well, one answer is to say, God commands us anyways. God commands us to train our children. God commands us to seek the way of wisdom. Regardless of the outcome, we're to do it. And let us hear the word of God and take that very seriously. But that's not the only answer. Because not only does God give us a command, He also presents us with a promise. And that's our last point this afternoon. The promise we all may plead. The promise. Now maybe you're saying, I don't see any promise in our text. And you're right, there's no promise as such. It's a proverb. It's a saying. It's an observation of life. But it is a proverb not found in the writers of this world. It is a proverb found in the Word of God. And what else is the whole Word of God, cover to cover? What else is it but the proclamation of the gospel promise of God in Jesus Christ? The good news for undeserving sinners like us, that He, God in Christ, is an almighty and most willing and all-glorious Savior. Yes, in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again, there is hope for foolish people like you and me. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means also that whoever says, Lord, I'm coming to see that I'm not very wise, make me wise. God will hear that. And God will answer that. Indeed, we read it in James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. And God will give. And God will make you wise through the power of new birth. And God will make you wise through uniting you to faith, through faith to Jesus Christ. And God will make you wise as he fills you with his Holy Spirit. And God will bless you. And over time, God will make you to grow in his wisdom. That is the gospel promise. Something else to say about that. Here we are in church, and here we are in the context of the covenant. And the Lord not only proclaims his promise to us, but he underlines it and affirms it. He just did so a few moments ago. And he reinforces it and personalizes it in the sacrament of baptism. In the sacrament of baptism, he has said, also now this afternoon, to Brielle and to Jack, the triune God has said, I mean what I say, and I will give you wisdom too. And that is powerful. And that is why this point is the promise we all may plead. For example, as parents, as we raise up our children, as we train them, as we seek to show them the way of wisdom and lead them in that way, all the time let us be pleading with the Lord to follow through on his promise. Didn't you promise, Lord, that you can make our son wise, our daughter wise? Didn't you say in their baptism that you are this kind of God? And didn't you pledge yourself also to our little one on March 21, 2021? Do what you have said, Lord. Let us talk like that to the Lord. I trust we all pray for our children. I trust we all pray for them regularly, even every day. How important that is. Only God can make them wise. We have our duty, but his is the power. So let us pray to him and plead for his promises to be fulfilled. Let us plead when our children are so young, so tender, so moldable. And then as they get older, let us not stop pleading, whether they show signs of grace or not. Keep on pleading the promises of God. And if they grow up to be wise, be humbled by God's goodness and pray for them still. And if they grow up and are not wise, if they grow up and are fools, and you find yourself grieving, some of you among us are grieving. Your sons, your daughters have gone into the ways of the world, and you can't teach them anymore. You can't train them anymore. Some of you can't even talk to them anymore. They've closed that door. But God's door is still open. Go to God. Let me finish with a word to the children, to the young people. The promise is not only for your parents to plead for you, it's also for you to plead for you. You know, on the one hand, the Word of God says to you, seek wisdom. Seek it with all your heart. Your parents tell you that. The Bible tells you that. Your church tells you that. We read it from Proverbs 4. You can get anything and everything else, but you've got to get wisdom. And the Bible says to you now, don't be foolish and don't bring grief to your parents. Elsewhere, Proverbs has a saying, says, let your father rejoice and let your mother be glad. Make them truly, eternally happy. Learn to say to them, Dad, Mom, I want to be wise. Can you help me to be wise? And when you struggle, because no doubt you will, no doubt you do. An old man this morning told me, older man, godly man, said, I still struggle. So children and young people, when you struggle, because the way of folly can look so good. And the way of the world can be so inviting. And the way of the devil so deceptive. And so you struggle and you cannot seem to stop an inclination towards falling. And you don't know what to do with yourself. Fall back on the promise. Remember how the Lord came to you and said to you, he'll be your God. He will make you wise. And learn to say to him, in the midst of all your helplessness, do it, Lord. Maybe in your room at night, you on your bed, dark, thinking on your life. Where are you going? What are you doing? How will you end up? Make me wise, Lord. Make me wise. And he will hear you. And he will do it. Because he is a faithful, faithful God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, we come before you at the end of this service, privileged to have word and sacrament, and to be reminded of the issues of life and death, of wisdom and folly. We are challenged as parents to be faithful in our teaching and discipline and example. We are challenged as children to respond well, to hear and to receive, and to follow the lead of our parents. We pray, Lord, that we may take your word seriously, each one of us in our respective roles and whatever stage of life we may be. But we are also confronted by our own weakness and by our own sinfulness and by our own predisposition to be a fool. Oh God, save us from ourselves and make us wise with the wisdom that is from above. Help every set of parents here, every father, every mother. Give them grace, O Lord, and give them strength. And bless every child and every young person. And in all of the tensions and struggles of raising up our youth, and for our youth submitting to that being raised up and learning to be wise, we seek, O Lord, to depend on your grace and on your promises. And we plead with you that what you proclaimed also in our baptism, you will fulfill in each one's life. We pray that again for Brielle and for Jack. They haven't understood a thing. And yet as they grow up, O Lord, may we see them becoming wise. We pray too for families among us who even now know by painful experience, the truth of this proverb, because as much as they may love their children, they see their children having grown up and gone into the world as fools. Oh Lord, hear their anguished cries and remember your faithful word. And when the doors are closed here on earth, help us to remember the doors are never closed in heaven. We may always go to you and bring our children before you. Lord, will you bless us as we bring this service to a close? Will you grant us to be encouraged and above all to lean not on our own understanding, but to lean upon your word, your wisdom, your spirit. We thank you too in we see evidence of your faithfulness, also in a generation growing up under our care, and many young people and children already exhibiting signs of a tender heart and wanting to walk in the ways of God. How humbling that is, O Lord. We can take no credit whatsoever. We can only stand in awe of your power and of your grace. Oh, hear us and bless us further, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.